Good morning. Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Joe Donahue. We're very happy to continue our regular feature, Ideas Matter, checking in with the public humanities. We do so every Friday morning, and today we'll be talking about the Birdcliff Arts Colony in Woodstock, New York, the role it played in the arts and crafts movement in upstate New York, and plans to develop an app for visitors and history enthusiasts around the state. We're joined by, and is it Tom Geiler? Do I have your last name correct, Tom?
Yes, correct.
Tom Geiler is a doctoral candidate at Syracuse University and the project director for the app development, and it's a great pleasure to welcome Tom Geiler to the roundtable this morning. Tom, thank you very much for being with us. A great pleasure.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Certainly, we have talked a lot on this program about Birdcliff, but give us a little sense of how you came to this project and a little bit about the history of Birdcliff in general.
Sure, yeah. I was looking for a dissertation topic about 3 years ago, and I've been a big fan of the arts and crafts movement, you know, living in Syracuse with all the Stickley stuff, and I stumbled upon a book on Birdcliff in our local library, and I became enamored with it, there's both a utopian community, a communal organization, which I'm immensely interested in, and ones that made furniture and pottery and metalwork in the style of the arts and crafts movement. It was sort of a marriage made in heaven that I really wanted to explore for my dissertation.
When it comes to Birdcliff, talk a little bit about where it fits into artist colonies as a whole in the history of artist colonies.
Well, I mean, in terms of the history of Woodstock, it really becomes, makes Woodstock an avant-garde place for the arts, you know, far before the music festival in 1969. And it's one of these art colonies that not only was producing amazing, beautiful art, but also great social thinkers and intellectuals of the time were there as well. So it wasn't necessarily just an art colony, but people such as John Dewey, John Burroughs, Hervey White, and others were there as well. Charlotte Perkins Gilman discussing social ideas and thoughts of utopia at the time. In terms of how it fits as an art colony, it's really one of the better known ones throughout American history, even though kind of fallen by the wayside now, due to the fact of how many prominent names were there and how prominent their art has been recently in the last decade.
So talk a little bit about the role that it has played in history of the last century or so and the role that it's playing today.
Well, the last century, you know, began in 1902 when people such as, you know, Ralph Radcliffe Whitehead, who was an Englishman who studied under John Ruskin at Oxford, was enamored with the arts and crafts movement. He was dismayed, especially by his family's textile industry in England that promoted the machine. And he saw many of the workers just beaten down and, in drudgery of this feeding the machine all day. And he thought that things should be made in beauty, you know, the machine should be gotten rid of, and that the artisan should flourish once again. So instead of making textiles by machine, people would weave them by hand. And so he comes to America in the late 19th century and discovers Woodstock in 1902 along with Bolton Brown and Hervey White. And they start to build a colony. And by 1903, they have 30 buildings on 1,500 acres. And they start making furniture and pottery and weaving and doing photography and landscape painting. And everything is like this very bucolic utopian community. By 1906, things have fallen apart a little bit due to discomfort with Whitehead's very aristocratic demeanor and domineering leadership style. And things become more of a part-time art colony. It becomes more of an art school.
Yep.
And by the time the 20s happens, things are not as formal anymore. It's really almost a boarding house for artists to come. And it continues that way up until the 50s, 60s, and even to today. People like Bob Dylan and Chevy Chase were there in the 60s and 70s hanging out, recording music. And today it's still an art colony for people to come and rent space and practice their craft in what's frankly a beautiful environment.
Talk a little bit about your work, Tom, of what you're trying to achieve in your association with Birdcliff.
Well, what we're trying to do is we're going to pilot something that I've called Upstate Historical, which is a interactive website and smartphone app that can bring the rich history of upstate New York to life for tourists, residents, and really anyone interested in learning about the region. We're going to start with a tour. There's a tours app on it where you can pick something such as Birdcliff, for instance. And then we're going to start with a Birdcliff tour where people can explore the colony on their phones, and each building and structure will be pinned. And if you click on the pin, it can take you to another page where you can have primary source audio, period photographs, commentary by scholars, and a brief story-based blurb about, you know, someone that lived in this building, something that happened here, or maybe even a piece of artwork that happened, that was created here.
And does that change the future of the site in any way? I mean, as far as the overall mission, or is it just to enhance it?
It's really just to enhance it. I wouldn't, and this is something I'm careful about, is that I don't want to tarnish or disrupt the site at all, because it was chosen for a very specific reason in these sort of Ruskinian dimensions. And it was handpicked by the founders because of the awesome views it has and the sort of secluded nature, since it's a little bit outside of Woodstock.
Right.
So I'm just here to enhance it. And I think using the digital humanities and using the CurateScape platform is a way to do that very unobtrusively, where people can just be on their phones and very quiet and not disturbing any of the art or the natural beauty there.
We've been talking about Birdcliff, but let us just zoom out for a moment and talk about Upstate Historical and how this fits into the greater scheme.
Sure. You know, Upstate Historical is going to use this program out of Cleveland State University called CurateScape, and it's a web-based platform that uses GPS to allow administrators to peek in key historical locations and upload story-based content, photos, video, audio, to tell the story of a particular place and the people that lived there and the events that happened. Once the app is downloaded, or, you know, the site access, users can click on the pins to find this information. Like I said, it'll have a tours app where you can pick a theme, even like such as the Civil War or transportation or art, or even like a region, such as the Finger Lakes, to facilitate a specific tour. I'm hoping at some point maybe to have stickers with QR codes on some notable buildings that people can scan, and then it can take them to a download of the app or to the site itself. We're hoping to launch June 2015, with a web-based version, and then slowly expand it to other cities and eventually into the smartphone app in the near future.
Is there a kind of a list of qualities, I'm escaping on the word that I'm looking for here, but an actual criteria, that was the word I was looking for. Is there certain criteria that you're looking for a place that would be suitable to be a part of Upstate Historical?
You know, that's a great question. The short answer is no. I'm trying to avoid any sort of hierarchy or some, you know, scholar bias here, and I want it to be crowdsourced, you know, in a public program in the
right,
purest sense of the term. In that reason, there will be some curatorial oversight, and we're developing a template for kind of how things should be written, how things should be formatted. But I'm really relying on the public and New Yorkers at large to tell me what's important to them. You know, I live in Syracuse, I grew up in Rochester, but I'm not as familiar with Buffalo, for instance. So I would invite people from all over the state to submit, you know, their own homes, places that are important to them, local businesses with great stories to tell. So really the only criteria I'm looking for, or we're looking for here, is really a great story, because that's what's going to get people to come back and really use the app. And frankly, that's what public history is all about, is telling great stories.
And feel free to correct me here. As a scholar, you could certainly take issue with this. But it seems to me, given the overall rich history that resides here in New York State, that it's really hard to find a town that doesn't have a Birdcliff, not meaning an arts colony, but a place that has rich history and a story to tell.
Absolutely. No, as someone who, like I said, grew up in upstate New York and has made it his job to study upstate New York. Every town has something that is absolutely necessary to tell. And, you know, some of these things connect to the greater narrative. Sometimes they don't, but that's not really what we're after here. This is really a public program that we want to get these stories out there, especially from, you know, possibly older residents who aren't, you know, are getting up there in years. We want to preserve these stories and these tales about these places because they're quickly fading.
Well, it's a fascinating project. Tom Geiler is a doctoral candidate at Syracuse University and project director for the app development and working on this project. And we've been talking about Birdcliff Arts Colony in Woodstock and the development of this app for visitors and history enthusiasts. To learn more, you can visit woodstockguild.org, woodstockguild.org. Tom Geiler, I want to thank you very much for joining us and being a part of Ideas Matter this morning and for the great work you're doing.
All right, thank you so much.
A great pleasure. Thank you. Again, you can find out more by going to woodstockguild.org, woodstockguild.org. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.